Have your Bibles this morning and turn with me in Proverbs. Again, Proverbs is that book that, again, gives us a lot of practical applications on how to live. And, you know, a lot of people in the world that we live in today, it's very difficult to have confidence in God. It's very difficult to have confidence in who we are and what our purposes are. Things are rapidly changing in our society as we travel further and further from the scriptures and further from God's word. And so where do we find this security in life that we can continue to do the battle that life brings to us? Life is difficult, you know, and you need to teach your children that life is hard, that life doesn't just give you things. Things happen, it happens to all of us. You know, you've always heard that, why do bad things happen to good people? And the title of that book is wrong, as I've told you before, because according to scripture, there's no good people. And life happens. And so it's through scripture that we gain this eternal hope and this eternal security that allows us to be able to live in this physical life that we're called to live. Let's begin in chapter 3 of Proverbs, and I'm beginning verse 20. It says, "By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies dripped with dew." In the previous passage it said, "The Lord's by his wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens." So again, acknowledging his sovereignty. God is sovereign. And he will bless whom he blesses, and he'll curse whom he curses, and he'll use who he uses, and he does whatever he wants to do. You know, if you create something, it's yours, and God created us, and we belong to him. Whether you acknowledge this or not, he's Lord over us, and he gave us Jesus Christ because he is holy, and he can't deal with us in a one-on-one basis, in a sense, because of our sin, which makes us contrary to his holiness. So that's why he had to send Jesus Christ as an intermediary for us because of our sin. And that's how he deals with us, is through his son, Jesus Christ. But understanding that he is sovereign over all, Jesus Christ has been given that authority to be our Lord. He is Lord over the church. And to be Lord over something, it means that they have total control. You don't get to go to a Lord and say, "Hey, by the way, I don't really agree with this part of your scripture, and I don't really agree with what God told you here, so let's kind of change this a little bit so it kind of meets my fleshly desires." Well, that's not how that works. When he's Lord, he comes and tells you and gives you a commandment. The scriptures are commandments. They tell us how you're going to act. And then there's also, he lays out very clearly the consequences if we don't do this. Okay? So even though God is loving and God is compassionate and God has shown that through allowing us to have a relationship with him and through his son bring us back to him in righteousness, to be his righteousness. It says, "My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Again, fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing God is the beginning of knowledge. So understanding that he's telling us that we don't ever need to forget this in our life. The thing about it, as we go on in life, we become very complacent about things. You know, when things change, we're really all in uproar about it, and boy, we just have a terrible time with it, and we can't get used to it, and it causes a lot of anxiety and stress in our life. And then as time goes on, we get accustomed to it, and then as we get accustomed to it, wow, it's not a big deal. And that's what sin, that's how sin happens in our life, you know. We get accustomed to it. Our world has become accustomed to sin. You know, we have changed the nomenclature, so sin is not sin anymore. And so therefore, if we take away sin, then there's no need for salvation. And that's what's happening in religion a lot of times, is that we just want a relationship without dealing with the sin, where you can't have that relationship unless you deal with your sin. And that's according to Scripture, okay? So we have to understand that how our world has now become so complacent to what sin is. We have become accustomed to it in this world. There's no shame, and we're not even shocked anymore by it. We just do it. It's become a way of life, and we've created a God that just is okay with it. And God is not okay with sin. He will never be okay with sin. And just because he sent Jesus doesn't mean we're to remain in sin. He sent him to save us from that and release us from the bondage of sin. So keeping this wisdom, keeping these statutes, and keeping these commands of God are what allows us not to fail, okay? And it's not so much, we look at failure in this world as not accomplishing the task that we were sent out to do. God doesn't look at failure that way. A lot of times the more we become more righteous, the more difficult life becomes. The more we want to follow the commandments of God and try to apply them to our lives, the more difficult life becomes. And the reason is because there's an adversary that's prowling around to destroy you. He can't get your soul, but as a child of God, he can sure make your life miserable. And if you don't understand the scriptures and how we're to use them and apply them to your life, that can make for a very unfruitful walk with the Lord. So keep the sound wisdom and discretion, so there'll be life to your soul. You know, what excites you in life? And a lot of people nowadays, there's just no excitement. There's no purpose in life. It's just so mundane. And yet, this relationship that God gives us should be the light and should be the power of our existence, so that we are ready to take on that battle each day. That's why you have to deny yourself daily. That's why you have to take up your cross and follow him daily. It's so important that you keep to the task of making sure and communing with that Holy Spirit and communing with God, so that you can get through this life, because life is difficult. Don't let anyone tell you, just because you're a child of God, that life is easy. Matter of fact, life is more difficult for a child of God, because when you have to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile in your life, knowing that, gosh, you've been mistreated and ill-treated, and that God finds favor in your life when you act properly when you've been mistreated and going through difficulties. And the adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. We don't want to stumble spiritually. That's the desire of a child of God, is not to just stumble spiritually. There will be moments in our lives that we do stumble. And the reason that we stumble is because we're not taking the advice of Solomon here and keeping that sound wisdom and continuing to fear God and keeping up with what God says we have to do to be able to preserve. Put on the armor of God so that you might be able to extinguish the flaming arrows that Satan's thrown at you each day. And that comes in all different forms. Sometimes it comes in the form of somebody running in, hitting the back of your new car, hitting a deer in your brand new truck you hadn't made a payment in yet. Workmen not doing a good job and sloppy work at when they're building something for you. Again, it comes in all different forms. These challenges of life for a child of God, and yet through those we're not to stumble, we're not to not be who we're supposed to be. See, the really things in this earth don't really matter. What matters is that we became and we are that light, that people understand that yes, we make mistakes, yes, we get angry, yes, we say things we shouldn't say, but yet the difference in us and the difference in the world is that we go back and make restitution for our stumbling. As a child of God, you are required to go back and make restitution when you have wronged somebody or you have stumbled and spiritually you have kind of forgotten who you were and acted out of an emotion and out of a response instead of responding by who you are. When you lie down, you're not going to be afraid if you do this. You can go to bed at night and lay your head on a pillow and know that, you know, before you go to sleep, God, have I done anything this day to discredit you? You know, it's not about discrediting ourselves. It's about discrediting who we represent in this world. Did you know as a child of God, you represent the very nature and the being of who God is? And you may be the only person that God brings that way that they can see the nature of God. And so it's not that we act perfectly all the time, but it's making sure we make those restitutions when we don't. But when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, when things aren't right in our lives, we toss and we turn. Our soul's not at rest. When we're in sin and we're enjoying sin and living in sin, and as a child of God, now, here's a good test. It says to test every spirit, right? Test your own spirit sometimes. Sometimes it's good to test your own self. And if you can live in sin and be contrary to God's word and you're sleep is sweet, then there's a problem. See, if there's not a correction of the Holy Spirit in your life when you mess up, that's a good testimony that you're not a child of God. Because the Holy Spirit always corrects his children. There's never a time where a child of God is not corrected. But if you want your sleep to be sweet, it's not that you live perfectly, it's that you're doing something about it. You're repenting of that. You're doing every human effort that you can, knowing that you can't accomplish it, but only through the power of God it can be accomplished. But you have to be diligent in the flesh in trying to make this happen, knowing that it can't happen in the flesh. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Again, understand this truth is that it may look like we're caught. It may look like that everything's going wrong. But you have to look at things from an eternal nature and a spiritual nature. We as children of God have got to learn to stop looking at things from the physical sense and using our flesh to determine what God's doing and what God's not doing. God, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're much higher than ours. And when we look at God from the fleshly mind standpoint, we have limited God into what he can do in our life. Again, you see, because we want this God that, God, you owe me because I have accepted Christ, and I'm doing this as a religious, playing this religious role here right now. So God, I have given you my life. I give my tithes. I do offerings, and I go on mission trips, and I do all of these things for you, and yet I'm not getting anything in return. Doesn't seem like a very good relationship we have here. By the way, you kind of owe me, God, because I'm doing all these things for you. Well, first and foremost, that's the wrong attitude to have because we bring nothing to this table, and God doesn't owe humanity anything. God doesn't owe us anything. And so we can't have this aspect that, oh, wow, God owes me something because I'm doing these things. Because if you have to have a thank you, guess what? You've done it for the wrong reason. Anytime you need a thank you and you're offended because somebody didn't thank you for doing something, then you've done it for the wrong reason. Okay? And we're talking from a spiritual standpoint. Matter of fact, there's a passage of scripture that says that doing all the commandments of God, you don't get a thank you or a praise from God at all, because you're a servant of God and you ought to do what you're told. So let's put this in perspective, okay? God doesn't owe us nothing. He goes on, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, okay? When it is in your power to do it. God equips people with different abilities, and you're expected to use those abilities. And you're not to withhold your gifts. You're not to withhold those things that God gives. If he's blessed you with a lot of money, then he expects you to use that money to help others. If he's blessed you with a lot of time, then he expects you to use that time to help others, not to just spend it all on your own pleasures. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it to you. Okay? So basically, if someone asks to lend something from you and you have it, then you're to lend it. Even though you know it's going to get torn up. This is one of the hard lessons of God, isn't it? Matter of fact, when you lend money to somebody, you're supposed to lend it in no expectation of getting it back. But on the other hand, if you're the borrower and you're a child of God, you do everything in your power to get it paid back. Okay, this is not a blank check for you to just borrow money from the church and the people in the church and then not have to pay it back. That's just as wrong, okay? So let's look at the whole picture there. But when people ask you for something and you have the ability to give it, especially spiritual truths, if we would just listen to what people are saying, we can understand and see their spiritual struggles. See, God left an eternal void in each and every one of us that is seeking his presence. And unfortunately, in our world today, so many of that void's being filled with religion and lies. And then people become complacent, they become satisfied with the lies that they've been told, but they're not fulfilled. There's no joy in that relationship that they're supposed to have with God, because they've got a false God that they've made a relationship with. And tomorrow I'll give it to you when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Again, we're to get along with our neighbors. The reason most people go on mission trips to foreign countries is because nobody knows them there. They couldn't go and do the same thing to their neighbors that know them because of how they've acted and what they've seen. So you got to go out of country so nobody knows who you are, so that what the message that you're bringing may have more validity because they don't know you. But your neighbors know you. You fight over the fence line. You fight over branches that come over your yard. You fight over just stupid stuff. The dog's barking in the backyard. And I mean, think about it. And your neighbors don't want to have anything to do with what you have to offer because they know you. So we got to go on mission trips. Do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. So don't be a troublemaker. Okay? Just don't be a troublemaker. There are some issues that we make battles in our lives that really have no merit. Make sure when you contend, make sure it has eternal merit. Okay? And not just temporary. Like, oh, I want to get my way. The reason we do that is because we're self-surviving and we're trying to preserve the threat on our own integrity is what we're doing, instead of being secure in who we are and allowing these things to happen. And this is hard. This is what I'm talking about this morning. None of this stuff is easy in the flesh. It's got to be done in the spirit because of our pride. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. I mean, how many times do we think about all the people that they never stepped foot inside of a worship center? They never seemed to acknowledge God at anything, and yet they seem to be just doing so good in this world. They just don't seem to have the problems and the struggles that you have. And he says, don't envy that man. You see, God tells of an eternal consequence to rejecting him and not repenting of your sin. And there's going to be a judgment that comes at the end of everyone's life. Well, the judgment has already happened before we were born, but the sentencing is carried out after we die, the sentence of that judgment. And if you're not born again, and if you don't have this relationship, and you've not have this revelation from Christ, who God is and who you are, and you've not received the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't reside in you, then you'll be cast into eternal damnation. For the devious are an abomination to God. Again, there are several things, if you read in scriptures, abominations of God: cheating, lying, stealing, homosexuality. Again, devious people who strive to make deals. And, you know, there's always people out there that never want to tell you the whole truth. Have you seen that when you go to, like, timeshares is a great example of this. And, you know, people that sell timeshares, they don't tell you the whole truth behind the timeshares. They just tell you the good parts of it. But they don't tell you about the maintenance fees that keep going up every year. They don't tell you that you can't get in and book the time that you want because there's 50 other million people that have got that same timeshare trying to book that same time that you want to be there, but they told you you could get it. I mean, these are devious people to get rich. People that are striving to get rich never tell people the truth. Okay? They're never honest with anybody. Okay? I'm trying to get a shed built in our neighborhood. Just tell me what you want to do for me to build it. So I put in, I'm going to do this. Well, we rejected you because it's got to be on a concrete slab. Well, just tell me that. I'll put a concrete slab up. I mean, just be honest with people. But again, these people, people are just devious by nature. Just make it simple for people. Be honest. Be straightforward. This is it. And you know what? Religion's not honest and straightforward about who Jesus Christ is and what God expects from us. It's not about going to heaven. Never has been. It's about becoming the righteousness of God. Okay? And being used and being the light of this world and the salt of the earth. This is what this is about. Okay? And we're not telling people that life is going to get harder when they follow Christ. And I told them in Sunday school this morning, it's just like the children of Israel, they hadn't heard from God for 400 years, and they were slaves. I mean, they had come accustomed to that. As it is, they had it pretty easy as slaves. They had food, they had water, they had shelter. They just had to go out there and work. Well, here comes God, finally hears the cries of Israel. And Moses goes in, and all of a sudden, Pharaoh doesn't like it, and what does he do? He makes them do more bricks, more work, with less time to do it. So their lives, as soon as God intervened in their life, life became more difficult. The disciples, the prophets, their lives were pretty simple. And then God told Isaiah and all the prophets to go, and they're not going to listen to what you have to say, Jeremiah. They're not going to listen to anything you have to say. But yet, you got to go speak to them for me. And their lives became very miserable. They were thrown into pits. I mean, think about it. And then you got the disciples, just fishermen enjoying their life. Pretty cool. You just go fishing every day, man. That'd be cool. But it'd be fun to go fishing every day, wouldn't it, Andrew? It'd be fun to go fishing every day, wouldn't it? Didn't have to work, just go fishing every day. And then God comes along and says, hey, come follow me. And then their life became difficult. Their life became very difficult after they began to follow Jesus. So I don't know where this came from, that, oh, give your life to Christ and everything falls into line. No, when God speaks to you. When you become a child of God and a follower and a disciple of Christ, your life gets a whole lot more difficult. Because you don't belong in this world anymore. You're dealing with folks that are enemies of God and they're devious. And so don't expect that your life is going to get... Actually, the more you try to read Scripture and the more you try to follow the commandments of God, the more difficult things are going to get. Okay, no one's ever told you that, have they? Oh, it says in here, God takes care of everything. No, he's taking care of everything for eternity, not physically. Physically, you're going to suffer as Christ suffered. Look at Christ. Here he comes. He's doing great. He gets to the point of the age of his ministry. He has no problems. And all of a sudden, God comes to him and says, okay, your ministry is going to begin. And now he's run out of town. Okay? He's beaten. He's spit upon. Crown of thorns and finally killed. Well, actually, he gave up his life. They couldn't kill him. But the point is, they crucified him. Okay? Wow. That perked us up, didn't it? No, I want you to know the reality of what's happening so that you can endure this battle that lays before us. This is a battle of sin in our life, and we have to battle it, and we have to endure, because it's only those that endure to the end that will be saved. He's very clear on that in his passage of Scripture. And if you're not battling and you're not enduring, then you're not going to be saved. He wrote that for a reason, to tell us that this is a lifelong, as long as we're in this earthen vessel, there's a battle to be fought. And it's that battle of sin in our lives that are entangling us. But he is intimate with the upright. Wow, isn't that... Is your relationship with God intimate? Or does it seem to be just one way where you're trying to please him? See, if your relationship with him is not intimate and your relationship with him is your life going around trying to please God, then you've got religion. See, that's what religion is. It's man's attempt to please God. See, you can't do that in the flesh. See, the relationship is God did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself, which then allows you to have this intimate relationship with him. Because as long as you're trying to make it happen, you're so engaged in the works of making this happen that now you think the works that you're doing, well, I'll spend more time in Scripture. That'll work. No, salvation's not in Scripture. Scripture leads you to the one that can save you. See, that's what the problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They thought that salvation was in the Scriptures, and yet salvation stood right in front of them, and they had never even recognized him. And this, all they had was the Old Testament, and it speaks volumes about the coming of the Messiah and the eternal kingdom that he is going to establish, not a physical one. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwellings of the righteous. Now, not like you think. The blessings of God are the fruits of the Spirit. And the blessings of God is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you. That's the blessings of God. Okay? It's not an easy life. See, it's not that we get through life easy, but we get through it easier. Okay, not an easy life, but it helps us to get through and manifest ourselves in a way that we're supposed to be. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display honor. The wise will inherit honor, but the fools display dishonor. Let's look real quick at Hebrews. Chapter 13, 14 to 21. It says, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we're seeking the city which is to come. If nothing else, put this on the forefront. And whatever you're going through, is temporary. Now, not to make light of what you're going through. There's some folks out there going through some horrible, difficult times. Okay? But as a child of God, one of the things and one of the truths that helps us get through this is not our home. We're just passing through, and we're seeking that eternal city, that lasting city. Okay? And that helps sometimes when things don't seem to be going well and it doesn't seem like it's worth it. And it seems like that I'm doing all of this in vain. And then remembering that I'm not seeking anything here. Not that we don't have to live here. Don't get me wrong. And we all have duties and responsibilities as citizens. But that's not our purpose. He gives us a whole different purpose by becoming a child of God. It says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruits of the lips which give thanks to his name. It's not what God is doing all the time in our physical life, but it's what he did for us spiritually where we become thankful. I'm not going to thank God that I had back surgery. You know, or shoulder surgeries and all the afflictions that I've had in my life. Oh, God, thank you for all those things. No, I thank him that I'm his child and those things don't define me. He defines me and helped me to deal with those things. Okay? It wasn't always easy to deal with those things, but through persevering through those things, I learned patience. I learned to endure. I learned truths. About who God is through those things that he didn't promise me anything on this earth, but he's promised me eternity is what he promises me. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And I'm going to stop there, but you're to share what you have. Okay? God didn't give it all to you to hang on to it. He expects you to share. Share with those that are in need, and then you have to ask God to go before you. It's very tricky because you don't want to enable people that God are trying to reach to continue in their sin. So you have to be very intimate in God in sharing and making sure you're not sharing with folks that are continually denying the cross. Okay? So it's very tricky because sometimes you can enable people to remain in their lost state instead of letting them come to the end of themselves. People need to come to the end of themselves. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. People have to come to the end of themselves to get this. Okay? And we have to be very careful, but we are to share what we have. There are strangers sometimes that need help. You just go up and help them. I don't suggest just giving them money. I suggest finding out what their need is, and then if it's paying a bill, paying a car payment this month because they're short, or the heat bill or something like that, pay the heat bill. But do not give them money because that's all they want is money. And then they'll go spend it on alcohol, cigarettes, things that aren't, they shouldn't be spending money on. So when you're sharing, make sure you're testing the spirit. That's why it says test every spirit. And the purposes of why you're helping these folks. Some people just want out of their state instead of their physical state, and they could care less about the eternal state. And one thing I always caution people to do is just begin to bring up scriptures and tell them your testimony and your share what God's done in your life. And most of the people that aren't seeking that intimate relationship with God and they just want the physical, they'll leave you alone. All you have to do is bring up this, the Word of God, and begin to speak what Scripture tells you to speak, and these people will leave because they don't want any part of this, okay? What they want is just to be physically. But the purpose that you have as a child of God has to be an eternal one. So when you're sharing, it's always praying about that and having God go before you so that you're given that opportunity with who you're sharing with about eternity and about Christ. And the best witness and the best testimony is what he's done in your life. Okay, not a bunch of scripture they can't understand, but using the scripture to show them that this is how God brought you to the point where you're at. Okay, so it's important how you share. And if you're a child of God, we all have something to share that's eternal.